I'm Pete Jordan, and I worked with CUSS from 1978 to 1980, and I was the project organiser, I think was the title, of the short stay house, which got going and developed over that time. The house, when I started working with it, was in its just entering its second year, and was in Boverton Street, just by Roth Park. And was immediately faced with having to move in the next couple of years. So over that time, we moved to Hamilton Street in Canton. The house, when it started, I think they had no idea how successful the project would be. So they just wanted somewhere where the house could operate for its first year, which is all it had funding for. And a lecturer at the university who was going on a lecturing assignment for 2 years to America said that the project could actually have his family home. So the house in Boverton Street where it started was actually a lecturer's house where the guy was away. The lecturer was obviously over in America only a very short term. And he said that he would need to have his home back, quite naturally. And so we were immediately faced, soon after I took post, with having to find another property. We looked for a while on the rented market and didn't have much luck there. But we were also very keen to get it further backed by social services and the county council, South Glamorgan County Council at that time. So, a very large support got going through all the parents who were using the house to try and campaign for funding and support for the council to get a permanent property we could move to. Eventually we actually got support from the county council, who gave a mortgage for the house in Hamilton Street. We had to raise quite a bit of money in addition to that to get a deposit. As far as I remember, it was around about £9,000 we had to get to. And we did a certain amount of fundraising, and parents did a lot of fundraising. But we were very lucky in getting £6,000 from the Agatha Christie Trust Fund. Agatha Christie's grandson, at least at that time, lived in Cambridge, and they were very keen to support, so obviously that made a huge difference. CUSS at the time was very much, I think, of its era. And we're talking about the mid-70s when I got involved. And CUSS was very socially conscious and very much a campaigning organisation as well. So all the students were involved, not only wanted to help people, but wanted to see society change as well. I think what was happening in CUSS was also helped, if the word could be used correctly, by the appalling things that had happened at Ely Hospital, which the student community were very aware of. And the student community very much wanted to see that sort of institution closed and a better life for people with learning disabilities. So there was a very strong ethos of trying to obviously offer a good new model of service, but then to get that taken on and to get statutory services changed as well. At the time, our ambitions were twofold. The first thing was to try and get the project itself secure, and not having a home to live in obviously made it insecure. So the first priority was obviously to get that sorted out. The next thing was to try and get that model accepted, which was part of the overall CUSS model, because of course the group home had already got going. That was an ordinary house in an ordinary street, and the people who helped at the group home were just ordinary students. The people who helped in the short stay house were full-time volunteers, again without any special training, and living in an ordinary house. So part of the message there, and part of the campaigning for CUSS, was all about trying to help people with learning disabilities be able to continue living in ordinary housing, in ordinary streets. And of course that's where the people who came to stay with us in Boverton Street and then Hamilton Street were living anyway. So I think it's a very common sense message. If people are living at the minute or have been living with their families in homes, in ordinary streets, why should they move anywhere else if they need to be somewhere else for a short time than somewhere like that. The people who came to us used to stay overnight, obviously, and all through the day at weekends. But on weekdays, they would go out to the day centres, as they were at the time, which were run across the county. So they were picked up in the morning by social services transport around about 9 o'clock, and then returned about 3:30 to 4. So we had them for the evenings and at weekends. Evenings, often people were a bit tired, so activities were more sort of in-house, playing games, social activities, and people was always keen to join in with cooking the meal for the evening and that kind of thing. Weekends we were able to go out a bit more. Obviously we were able to go out locally. It was very nice in Boverton Street, been close to Roth Park, and many happy memories of walks around the lake there and feeding the ducks and so on. And then in Canton, really in the hub of Cardiff, with lots of local things nearby, like Chapto and pubs, and able to go out to those sort of activities as well. There were several barriers. Sometimes at the start there were some barriers from the families themselves, who understandably didn't necessarily have a huge amount of confidence that we were the sort of people who could look after their beloved sons and daughters, who they'd been looking after for, in some cases, 20, 30 years or more, without a break, and who they knew so well. So some of the work that needed to be done was in talking to families and persuading them to let loose the reins a little, and tell us about their sons, daughters' needs, and entrust their support to us for a short while at the start and see how that went. So there were some barriers there. So another difficulty was in liaising with the local authority day centres. And at that time, we were very institutional in model and very custodial, really. So we obviously had to liaise with them because people were attending the day centres. And we also wanted to feed back to them about how some of the people they saw in the day were, when they were with us, and how much more independent they could be than perhaps some of the activities they were giving them in the day centre. Some of that feedback wasn't taken too well, shall we say, but we persevered, and certainly it was, I think, a very important sort of thing to try and liaise with the centres. The relationship with the neighbours was very good when they got to know us, and certainly when we were in Boverton Street we had very good relationships with the local neighbours. It was interesting when we moved to Hamilton Street that some of the neighbours in Hamilton Street got a petition going to try and stop us moving in there, which we knew they were presenting to the local authority. So we thought it would be good at that time to try and enlist the support of our current neighbours in Boverton Street. And we got some really nice letters of support from the neighbours in Boverton Street about how fantastic we were as neighbours. And I've just remembered that one of the other letters that came from Boverton Street was from a house which was only just up at the other end of the street, where the person actually wrote, I'm interested in the letter you've just sent me asking for your support. I was completely unaware that you were there at 2 Boverton Street. So they were unaware that we existed as a house for people with some special needs. And those letters were very useful to obviously help with the council, but also to talk about with some of the neighbours who were worried about us moving into Hamilton Street. I'd got to know a fellow volunteer who was helping at Mind, which was where I was in Cardiff immediately before coming to CUS. And he was somebody who'd been very much involved in the group home and still was. He'd certainly talked to me a lot about the CUS group home and the CUS ethos, and I found that very exciting. Also, while at university, while not being in Cardiff, I'd helped in the holidays in a local hospital for people with learning disabilities, and been quite shocked by some of the conditions there. So again, I think that led me towards an organisation which was keen to provide services of the sort of highest personalised quality, but also very much had that campaigning ethos to try and improve the lot generally of people with learning disabilities. I think working with CUS has had a profound influence on my future career. Certainly, the basic values of respecting people and allowing people and supporting people to live ordinary lives and fulfil their ambitions and just respecting the ordinary hopes and aspirations we all have has really underpinned everything I've gone on to. The other thing I would say that it sort of perhaps helped me with is just seeing how dreams can become reality. That a small organisation of people without any professional expertise but with high aspirations and a lot of commitment can get things done and can challenge authorities and can get things changed. And having seen that happen in CUS certainly helped me in the future journey of my career, which turned out to be in mental health rather than learning disabilities, where I had some of the same battles but had been given the confidence by my work with CUS to see what is possible. After CUS, I for a short time decided to go back to academic life and do a PhD. After about 6 months of that, I was getting rather bored, and I was approached by a friend who said that they were looking to have somebody who would look after the first staffed house under a scheme called NIMROD. NIMROD was as far as I remember, a Welsh Office funded project that came before the All Wales Strategy for People for Learning Disabilities. And it was a pioneer project that was very much built on the CUS model. So it was obviously very exciting to be involved in that, and I was lucky to get the job and then see that first staffed house, which took people out of Ely Hospital and Hensel Hospital to live in the community in a small house in Canton, which was really just based on the CUS model of working. I think one of my favourite memories at the time with CUS was when we were campaigning with social services and needed to get them very much on board with us, talking to the parents and the way the parents came very fully on board with the project because it meant so much to them. And they were very keen to support, and they all signed a petition and they all wrote things. And we got all the sort of statements written on an absolutely huge board, which we decided to present. And we asked the Director of Social Services when he would be in his office and willing to accept it. And a sort of mass of parents descended on social services with this great petition. And it was just watching that, and I actually get a little bit emotional remembering it, just standing on the pavement, seeing this mass of parents approaching social services with this petition about this project that meant so much to them. Gosh, that surprised me. It's interesting, my wife works in the learning disability field, so I have kept some contact with that field. And it's been wonderful to see the growth of smaller living accommodation that respects people's wishes. It's been very exciting to see projects get going that have seen people with learning disabilities achieve so much more and be able to go to integrated facilities, be able to work and do so many more things. I suppose that's on the positive side, but also I'm very much aware at the moment of the challenges that have been created by funding cutbacks and also increased legislation, which has not always had a good effect on people's freedoms, really, and ability to fulfil themselves as individuals. It was an interesting time in the mid-70s. Certainly it was a time where a lot of people, a lot of students, were involved in political action. I think what was very special about CUS is that it was involved in what might be called political action, but it had such a solid basis in doing practical work. It was doing it by demonstration. So yes, it was shouting at Ely Hospital, shouting at the government about saying what needed to be different, but it was demonstrating how it could be different as well. I think that was a very solid combination. I think it was also helped by some of the scandals that had happened at that time, and an increasing public awareness about how appalling life was at places like Ely Hospital. So that combination of things coming together, I think, really made the difference and helped CUS achieve such a huge amount with such little resources in quite a short time. I think a lot of people were involved in CUS, and certainly it needed people with a strong amount of self-confidence, happy to face up to some of the giants of the statutory services, and having people like, you know, a particular individual like Jim Mansell made a huge difference. But he wasn't on his own, and he couldn't have been on his own. I think it was a very strong group of people all sharing that ethos. And then being able to link to, there was an organisation called Campaign for the Mentally Handicapped that became Values into Action, that was very strong in Cardiff at the time. So it was a multitude of people all coming together and working on different fronts that made the difference. It was interesting working with full-time volunteers, which is what we had in the short stay house. The volunteers we had were through community service volunteers. So they did full-time voluntary work for 6 months to a year, often between school and university or just after university. And they were often people who were interested in moving on to a social care type job. They were obviously living and working very closely together, and sometimes for those leaving home, being home away from the first time, so it was quite a pressured time of life for them. And I can certainly remember one relationship starting between volunteers, and within quite a small staff team that did present some issues. But people were able to keep apart from there. Conflicts also came up in a small team, but I really don't think, I'm just thinking back to sort of later in my career, working with all sorts of different staff groups, I don't think they were anything sort of different or out of the ordinary to what you'd expect anywhere, really. It's interesting how times have changed with respect to things like sexual values and expectations, and certainly at that time I can remember almost humorous talk of one resident or other fancying another one or having a boyfriend or girlfriend. It wasn't done in a disrespectful way, but looking back on it, it wasn't done in what I would call a respectful way either. At that time, people didn't picture, I think, that people might be actually wanting to go in for more major relationships other than just having friendships with, you know, somebody of the opposite sex. So I don't remember that coming up as a particular issue, but it would be very sort of interesting for me now, having left the learning disability field, perhaps to catch up on that and think how some of those things might need to be addressed within similar houses these days.